Hello, I'm James, and I've loved Seinfeld ever since it was part of the BBC Two's late night lineup in the 1990s.
Hello, I'm Steve. I also experienced Seinfeld in the same time slot, except I greeted it with great indifference and only watched the first episode.
But together, we're going to watch the entire Seinfeld series in a show that we call Hello, Newman.
I'm going to say hello, welcome to Hello Newman. This is season 2, episode 4, if you're on Amazon Prime, of Seinfeld, The Baby Shower. Continuity buffs. Let me just thumb through my reference book I have here to tell you that The Baby Shower was originally the 15th episode of Seinfeld.
Gosh.
And was originally shown right towards the end of the run. So after this, there were only two more episodes. Whereas this is episode 4 in season 2. If you're following it on Amazon Prime, which I think they're doing it in the
some weird sequence that Amazon have decided to see, because it's not even the same as the DVD release.
No, it seems kind of arbitrary. I don't know why they've done it that way.
I hope it's only for this one. Anyway, it's only for season 2.
I believe it gets better from here on in. Mm. But it's a bit like the old Istanbul-Constantinople conundrum, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, nobody knows but the Turks why they've done this. Yeah. And I'd like to see President Erdogan explain his decision. Okay, so that's enough.
We'll get right on that.
That's enough politics.
One thing I'd noticed that's probably really, really obvious, but I'm going to say it anyway, just for the record, is that these last few episodes have all consistently had something in their title, and that's that they start with the.
Mm.
Is this it now? In terms of format, every episode is going to be the something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
It's good.
Unlike the first season, there were a couple that hadn't followed that format, and I was just wondering if this is now like a deliberate thing that they would start with.
It's absolutely their thing. there were a couple of misfires in the first season, and a couple of the titles were different too. That's a sick burn on the first season of my favourite sitcom. You know, it's like, you know, hurting things that you love, and that sort of thing.
Some tough ones.
Okay, that was really exciting. I'm gonna. Do you mind if I pull back the curtain just a little bit?
Why not?
Cool. So we're on Amazon Prime and it's 0000. I was about to press play and then somehow selected the play icon and it was getting dragged all around the screen. It was quite an exciting moment, wasn't it?
It was. It reminded me of Magic Toaster Screensavers.
I might have magic powers. It's possible.
Flying Toaster? Something like that.
Yeah. Sounds right. Feels right. Let's go with it.
Yes.
Okay, we're at all the zeros, and I am going to press play now.
Men.
Battle of the Sexes. Comedy.
wearing the same jacket as in the last episode. Changed his shirt, though, which is good.
Buttoned right up to the... No tie, buttoned right up to the throat again, though. It's a curious time. Although there's a man in the audience with top button undone, so the buttons were coming down. The early 90s saw a lot come down, didn't they? The Berlin Wall.
Yep.
Shirt buttons. Other things too. My testicles as I completed puberty.
No. Thanks.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, listener.
Still don't like that jacket, though.
No, it's horrible. And again, very much time. Shirt tucked in, of course.
Into
casual slacks. Dark casual slacks. I mean, I think we'd probably call this office casual.
I don't know, maybe.
I don't really know.
I think it looks too casual for even office casual.
Maybe.
So he was talking about channel hopping then.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yes.
Because that then leads into something later, which is nice.
Yeah, and there's also...
But it's not a stand-up that takes you immediately into the next into the next scene. It's actually like two or three scenes down the line.
Yeah, yeah. This is a Larry Charles written episode.
Larry Charles?
Larry Charles, who's a marvellous looking individual if you get to long black hair and giant beard before giant beards were where it's at.
Goodness.
He looks like the most rock and roll comedy writer of all time, and wrote some of the funnier, darker Seinfelds. And this is has some darker moments in it, this Seinfeld. But again, it was based on his experiences. apparently, the way the writers would pitch to Larry and Jerry would be that I can't remember the name of the writer now, but apparently he was talking about a future episode. But he was pitching an idea to him, which Jerry didn't really like, and then told him this little aside about something that had happened to him on a trip back to New York recently, which then became one of the most beloved Seinfeld episodes, which we'll talk about more when we get there. But that was very much apparently what the pitching was like. They wanted to hear things that had really happened and ideas that they could extrapolate out upon, rather than like straight story pitches. And it was one of the few sitcoms as well where there was no writer's room. The writer or the writers would write the episode. Seinfeld and David would get final edit on it, but it wouldn't be written as a table thing. It was written by writing teams, and I think possibly that kind of sets it aside as well, because it becomes a more singular vision each episode. Doesn't get diluted with extraneous ideas, so I always think they feel quite lean in terms of the storytelling in Seinfeld's. So Elaine's been encumbered with the responsibility of arranging a baby shower.
And the episode so far has gone to great lengths to talk about how Leslie has infected other people's lives. Elaine already feels kind of indebted to Leslie for this baby shower and has said that she finds it really hard to say no. And George is very bitter because he had an ill-fated relationship with Leslie. Bitter because he didn't have a very good experience, but I also wonder if he's not just got his back up because she's married and she's pregnant and like she's got all the things that he doesn't have. It could have been him.
Everything in George's life is fueled by his insecurities,
and also deeply maddened about the fact that one of his favourite shirts got a whole bunch of chocolate all over it.
Yeah. So not only does he feel inadequate, he feels wronged.
Yeah.
And he hasn't got catharsis on either feelings. He's desperate for it. He's a driven man.
It's great watching these two.
Yeah. It's a lovely relationship, but it's also very... But all of them bounce nicely off Jerry in their own ways. He feels less like he's... He never felt like he was being carried, but I think he feels more naturalistic at this point.
Yes, yeah.
But lots of stifling of laughs. I'm sure he was sucking his cheeks in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It must be difficult when you're not used to it, because laughter's infectious and you've got a live studio audience. And you're making one of the funniest shows of all time. It's a heady combination. Terrible man. He's a terrible man berating pregnant women for their girth. So George is going to pay.
Yeah, great note here with the money.
Yeah, generous tip. Yeah.
He's
brought back by it, isn't he? He knew that would burn him. He had to reduce the. It felt good in the moment. The moment passed very quickly. So Jerry's having trouble with his television reception. He's using rabbit ears. How amazingly anachronistic does this look at this point?
Yeah, hello today's youth. Here's a thing that you'll never struggle with.
Yeah, bunny ears. My first TV aerial was bunny ears with a loop, which I believe were quite popular.
I think that's what he's got there, actually.
Is it bunny ears with a loop? It doesn't look like it.
And some extra tin foil on the end, just to really hammer that home.
You know what he wants to have bought? Like, he wants to have bought one of those ones that you plug in. I can only see it plugged into the TV, so ones that also get additional power to boost their
signal.
Yeah,
signals, James. Signals.
Signals, Jerry. So
why wouldn't you want stolen cables? Yeah. You idiot.
Yeah. I don't.
Really... Kramer's really insistent.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Seeing more of Kramer's moral landscape.
Mm.
Introducing the character of the cable guy, who is another another superlative character, isn't it? But the character is darker than any character I think we've yet met. He's definitely got more menace about him than any character we've yet, which is kind of indicative of Larry Charles's writing style. So he comes across as a very, very feckless,
slovenly looking yeah. character.
the paranoia of this is a bit like if this could be made now, but this would be this guy's got a URL to a free file sharing site.
Yeah,
and Jerry would be paranoid about pirating television.
We got a sneak peek into Kramer's apartment through the doorway there. I think it's the first time we'd seen that.
Yeah, brilliant. Society, he's come back from playing away, and the police are there, realizing his most deeply held fears. Oh, they've got Kramer. Oh dear, I like the mispronunciation of Jerry's name. Mm-hmm. Very subtly played, very funny. See, the computer hasn't changed, and it's still covered in post-it notes.
Another serial.
Now, how's this for a moment in a sitcom? The lead character, the titular character of the sitcom, is being shot repeatedly and killed,
and still trying not to look like he's going to laugh.
Yeah. Well, it tickles, I imagine, to get that many bullets.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Such a brilliant piece of... Oh, Michael Richards is so perfect. Oh, it was all a dream, Steve.
It was.
Apparently...
It was good, though. I mean,
brilliant.
It was corny, but it was subtle corny.
Yeah.
Like, there was just enough to give a hint.
Yeah. It was Larry Charles claimed he was interested in making a Quentin Tarantino version of a sitcom. So that was kind of him incorporating that. But again, dark. The plane could crash and they could die. Sort of so many dark themes in Larry Charles's writing. Steve, are you afraid to fly?
Am I afraid to fly?
Are you afraid to fly? Are you afraid of flying?
I do not have a fear of flying, but let's nail that down.
Mm.
I have flown several times in aircraft.
Yeah.
I've been in small and large aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Not a helicopter, though.
No.
I think I would be absolutely terrified of flying if flying was defined more like falling from a great height.
Yeah.
Which, until you land, is kind of like flying.
I guess, yeah. I guess.
So, in controlled environments, I am fine with flying.
Good. Okay. Well, that's useful to know for future, should we ever be together at a very high spot.
Okay.
It's nice. George doing a real solid for Jerry here. Picking him up from the airport. He's a good guy.
Yeah. without actually making a big deal about it, yeah. which is what I was expecting George to do. Yeah. It's like, yeah, no problem, yeah. I'll pick you up, and then yeah. kind of starts making it out like yeah. he's been a bit put out by it.
Yeah. What could be causing George to be this helpful and laid back about it? George making excuses.
Maybe he does have an ulterior motive.
To why he needs to go back to Jerry's apartment. Maybe, you know, come on, we should definitely go. Brilliant.
Yeah, called out.
Yeah, of course. Why else would George be helpful? Yeah. He's driven by revenge. It is, again...
Yeah, that's what he'd like to do.
Dreadful human beings. No, although she is herself an awful human being.
Yeah.
But George, no qualms at all about gate crashing a baby shower.
Hasn't ever let it go.
Yeah.
Has been holding on to it all that time.
But I'm sure now we're... Apparently she is based on two people. She's amalgam of two people that Larry Charles knew who were performance artists.
Fair play to both the script
yeah.
and the actor
yeah.
to get over in one or two lines at the very beginning of the scene
yeah.
that Leslie is a piece yes. of work.
Oh, yes. All right, yeah, no, she was yeah based on... Sorry, I was trying to find their names. Apparently they were called Karen Finley and Joanna Wendt, and they were two performance artists who used food in their act. Brilliant. So the cable's being installed as the baby shower's happening. George and Jerry are inbound. Stories are converging, Steve.
They are converging. And poor Elaine, her soiree
yeah.
that she desperately wanted yeah. to go well, being a bit ruined.
Everything goes wrong when other people get involved in their little world.
God.
The sleaziness of the cable guys really is sleazy. Beautiful. And again, you know, the guys are working with almost no lines at all, but they're doing fantastic work. It's brilliant. Always very well cast, Seinfeld. He's so affable, Kramer, isn't he? Brilliant. Why wouldn't you, in a room full of women, pull your shirt up, almost up to your nipples, to scratch your upper belly? I love George's rehearsing. This isn't the first time George has made this speech, is it? This has been honed. Oh, no. This yeah. has been honed. I think we all do it, though. Just George
absolutely,
has to
we do. Yeah.
George has to give voice to it. I love
and, it. And part of his stubbornness is keeping that shirt. It's like yeah. it's ruined me.
Yeah.
You know, but the collar's fine, so I just wear yeah. it under sweaters.
yeah.
But seriously, yeah. why would you keep it?
But one day, well, because one day, one day he might get his chance at revenge, and he's got it, and he's trying to seize it. Kramer's ability to say, he's got so many
the furtive yeah. look on his face.
Oh yeah. Are those that videotapes there? Videotapes and CDs.
I thought they were. Are they videotapes? I thought they were audio. Because oh no, the videotapes are yeah. on their shelf beneath.
All yeah. right.
Fair well, enough.
I think audio tapes up there too.
That does remind me. I do have to return some videotapes.
Yeah, what time does Blockbuster close?
2009.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Of course they'd start fighting. This party...
That's right, he's got to spit out his cake.
Yeah. This party's in a truly impressive death spiral at this point,
yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
Grand.
Which point would you have left?
I would have never attended a baby shower.
Yeah, yeah, that's a very good
even
point.
Even if I was of the female yeah. gender, I would just stay away from baby yeah. showers.
But George has made it. He's there.
He's got his wish, yes.
He is going to have his moment of revenge. I love Elaine knows.
Yeah, she's desperately trying to hold this thing together.
Yeah. Oh, he's going for it.
See the state of that. I wouldn't.
Yeah,
keep
that looks far too fresh, doesn't
he's,
it?
He's doing some performance art
of his own.
Of his own there in a spoiled shirt. Yeah.
Oh, his moment has come.
Yep.
What could possibly go wrong?
It's just like,
yeah,
whatever, mate.
I love
it's the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah.
All that rehearsing.
Yeah. Someone who's, I have to say though, I mean, they had a date. What is it about him that attracts these women to him in the first instance? His vulnerability, maybe? I suppose when he's not being dreadful, he's quite charming, I suppose.
You can see a bit of the power dynamic here, and maybe why they do like to be around him.
Yeah.
Because
he's intimidated.
He crumbles a little bit.
He does, yeah. Brilliant.
Now, this I didn't see coming.
Yeah. Oh, Jerry.
While the other one is happening in the background as well.
Yeah. Oh, Jerry. You're brilliant. Right in his face. This is how revenge is done. Her revenge game so much stronger than George's. Brilliant. So well played.
Amazing.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. And now George is left trying to continue taking this. Oh. And it happened again.
Yeah. That was a big piece of cake too.
Yeah, they have lovely cake.
Oh, I want some cake.
Yeah, I'd like to go to New York and have cake, I think. Maybe some pizza. Making it a lot different from the life I lead here. So, Jerry's $400 out of pocket and still no cable.
Still no cable, yeah.
It's not gone
$400
well.
For what? Yeah. They all that cake.
No, that's true. Who would have thought that hooky cable guy's time would be so expensive?
Hmm.
I love here how the power dynamic finally plays out. He's gone from screaming revenge to complete and utter lapdog in the space of what must be less than 30 minutes is brilliant. Oh, bless him. He's such a defeated human being, isn't he? It's a nice jumper, though.
Better than a shirt.
Yeah, I hope he throws the shirt away after this.
I hope so.
Yeah. That's a lot of cake. So.
That's what they did.
Now
they drew lines on his television.
Yeah. Meanies. That'd take ages to come out. He's still wearing the shirt. remember this little piece of dialogue. This will come back. Seinfeld was very good at being self-referential. I don't think they were knowingly breadcrumbs laid down, but I love the fact they pick up these little subtle ideas. Would you trust Kramer to make popcorn? He seems like the sort of guy that would burn down a house making popcorn regularly. You can't.
If it's his own popcorn, probably.
If
he's come into your apartment to take your popcorn, he's going to be a lot more careful with it.
Yeah, maybe. He's too easily distracted. So
consistently dressed, actually, this standout. In some previous episodes, we've had jacket on, jacket off, you know, different tie.
Mm.
This one, same outfit all the way through.
Written. I think at this point we are written entirely for the show, rather than being bits of. I think bits of Jerry's stand-up act was being picked out. This is all stuff that's written for the show itself. Again, sharply observed sitcom stand-up. He's right. Steve.
Hello, what?
The baby shower. How was it for you?
Oh, man, that was good. I liked it. I liked that one a lot. There's a very strong, central, single story. All of the characters are drawn into it.
Yeah.
Through Leslie, they've all got some kind of connection. Jerry, okay, being a step away from that, because really it's only by lending his apartment does he have that much connection to what's going on there, really, through his friends. But it's really cool that when he does come back, that all of the other things that have been going on and George's attempt at getting revenge on Leslie comes to bite him in such a strange and bizarre way, because there's Mary absolutely having a go at him, which I said at the time, just I didn't expect it.
No.
And that was, I think that to me is clearly a mark of what Seinfeld can do to set itself apart. Mm-hmm. And then when you think deeper about it, you think, well, yeah, that might be a Curb thing too. You know, that's something that would kind of feed in later on.
I definitely think that's part of the process, though, is maybe around a table, there'd be dissenting voices because you're not going down the obvious path, and maybe you'd end up. But, you know, it's kind of indicative of the writers they had on Seinfeld that they don't take the path most often trodden. And I think that makes it, I think it's hard now because it's influenced a lot of sitcom. Looking back on it, it doesn't look so apart from what was around at the time, but it really, really was. Especially that episode, they killed their titular character.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, you know, that through Larry Charles, it's kind of a more darker sort of a turn. Because, I mean, it's noticeable. It's absolutely noticeable. I mean, it doesn't seem to feel particularly out of place compared to everything I've seen before. Sure. It's not like it's gone so dark compared to what else has been going on. Yeah. I mean, it's not like Seinfeld's a particularly dark or grim show, but it's got its own sort of moral compass.
Yeah.
And these dark turns aren't like amazingly different from it's not like you've all of a sudden had like a dark or serious episode when you were watching Full House.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like that.
Yeah. On a very special episode of Blossom.
Yeah. This is the serious issues episode. Yeah. Where there'll be a big hug at the end. So I liked that it did those darker things, the stuff with Mary, great performance as well, just absolutely gunning for it, which really helped sell that scene, because it was less, I mean, it was funny, but it was less broadly playing an angry character and someone actually just dramatically being angry, which made the whole thing even more uncomfortable and therefore fit the scene so much better. So that was grand. And yes, as you were saying, the thing where it looks like they're killing off their main character.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, I mean, at the very, very beginning, it seems straight.
Yeah.
But as soon as people start talking, there's just enough where it starts to feel, it's like a subtle nod towards like a genre cop drama stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And by the time he's thinking of making the dash for it, it's obvious what's going on. But in terms of how it fits in that sitcom, and in terms of how Seinfeld itself was run, that does feel very daring and new and out of place.
Yeah.
In the same way that it, like in episodes with what was the first girlfriend's name? Jennifer, was it Jennifer?
I think so.
Where you hear his internal
monologue,
and again, it's kind of it's out of place, but it still fits and
works beautifully. Feels right.
There's nothing here in the universe that the writers are creating that kind of take you out of the show, or it feels unnatural, it feels jarring. It's just everything still just it fits the language of that show so well. So
and the first example of genuinely converging story, like all four stories converging at the end, which will become what Seinfeld looks like as we get into the next season.
I like that we have that kind of thing of George kind of rehearsing in his mind all this time on how something's going to go, and it doesn't go that way, and that's kind of the point, because I think we've all probably been there. Also the stuff with Elaine, I liked how really subtle at the beginning, where she's talking about Leslie being married to a Kennedy through some loose connection, and not like at the time saying, oh well, who cares, but throughout the rest of the episode keeps dropping in about how she feels about the Kennedys and how amazing it would be to know or be a Kennedy.
She's got these weird dreams, that childish dreams that she's not been able to let go of, it would appear.
And as Leslie said, the same as she was in college.
Exactly. But they're all... This is a story about four people with stunted growth, essentially.
Yes, very much.
Stunted emotional growth. Really enjoyable and very funny episode with some great payoff at the end. I enjoyed it. Steve, I need to correct myself, though.
You wreck yourself.
Yeah, I said the part where Seinfeld, Jerry found himself being screamed at, was part of Larry Charles's creative vision.
All right.
I know it wasn't. It was added later on to give Jerry more to do, because you notice Jerry had almost nothing his character had
published. Oh, once he turned up to the apartment.
And he had little to do. His storyline, Kramer's storyline, was the Russian cable guy, really. George had the revenge story. Elaine had the baby shower. Jerry was just the centre, I guess, around the Tempest's world, wasn't it? Very little
because
for him to do.
Because it's his apartment. Yeah.
But very little for him to do. Very generous in terms of the writing and the way he lets the show run. Again, the fact that Jerry Seinfeld had so little ego in this show is what makes it great, because you get four great characters.
Hmm.
Okay. Do you have any more to say?
Nope.
Cool. Thank you for listening. We'll speak to you next time.
Next time.
Next time on Seinfeld.
Ba-ba-da-ba.
Bye-bye.